You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of May 17th, 2018. And the time is now. Buy while it's low. EXP coin is now on the market. Oh my God.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Alborg.
My name is Scott Juster.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a site dedicated to the serious but not humorous conversation about video games. And we are talking today about a subject I know next to nothing about.
The most dangerous game.
That's true. We're talking, in a roundabout way, we're talking about Bitcoin.
Oh, cryptocurrency.
Cryptocurrency. And blockchain, which is... Okay, you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to fully admit I know almost next to nothing about cryptocurrencies and blockchain. Yeah. And I'm going to try to explain to you how I think it works.
Okay, yeah. Okay? This is good. This is like when someone... This is like how I have actually never seen the movie Titanic. But I'm pretty sure you know how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So somehow...
good start.
Through the power of magic, we use... Here's the thing. The way that I imagine cryptocurrency mining to work is that there's like, it's like a Professor Layton puzzle or like
matchsticks.
Yeah. Or like matchsticks, right? Or an Indiana Jones Temple of Doom style puzzle, right? And you use your computer's processing power to solve the puzzle.
Okay.
And the solution to that puzzle somehow makes one thing, one like digital thing.
Yeah.
But in so doing, it makes the puzzle more complicated for the next computer to solve.
Yeah.
Such that it creates a demand of more and more energy processing power in order to get an increasingly piece of coin or whatever that's worth less and less and less, so sort of finite in that way.
There is an encrypted token. There are a number of encrypted tokens.
Yes.
That encryption takes time and energy to decrypt.
Yep.
The act of decrypting it means that the more complex and or scarce tokens out there are increasingly valuable because they're harder to get.
Well, so, but here's... Okay, so I understand. I think that's probably pretty safe. Here's what the big thing that I don't understand. How does my computer mining a Bitcoin produce a unique coin that your computer mining the same Bitcoin doesn't? Like, why? How are you mining a different thing?
That's where blockchain comes into it.
So what is blockchain?
Because blockchain, again, this is super, like, it's weird for someone who considers himself fairly savvy. I don't actually understand blockchain very well because I don't think most people understand blockchain very well.
I think most people investing millions of dollars into blockchain don't even understand blockchain very well.
Blockchain at a 1 million foot level.
Yes.
Is a system of crowdsourced trust where each person essentially has a ledger and those ledgers all compare themselves to all other ledgers for unique entries on said ledger.
So let's say that in my possession is one Bitcoin. That's like one digital ledger that's like that also contains all the previous
the system, like Bitcoin itself or Ethereum or whatever operates on a blockchain system so that there is a ledger that can be compared. Like let's say you decode one, you record it in the ledger. It is then confirmed by all the other people in the ecosystem as first and unique.
Okay.
And then
I see.
And then it therefore invalidates it for everyone else in the ecosystem.
And so in order to transfer ownership of a coin, you must consult the shared ledger.
Because and this is why people get so excited about this shit is because it seemingly seems hard to forge.
Yes.
It is.
Like, meaning that I can't make a fake Bitcoin.
Right, because you'd always be having to talk back to the rest of the community to compare the uniqueness of that entry. And it is decentralized. It's not backed by Chase Manhattan Bank or whatever. It's backed by however X many million people and their other ledgers all double checking each other.
Right.
So that's why people get super excited about it. Again, there's probably about 3,000 things we just got wrong there, but I'm fairly confident in the super high level explanation of what that is.
Okay, so why does blockchains and video games why do they have anything in common?
Because they sound really cool. It sounds like a neo-futurism.
You know, blockchain actually sounds like a mobile game.
It sounds like a fucking...
Like,
yeah,
B-L-O-K, then like slash, but the slashes are chains.
Yes.
And then the word, also the word
Arnold chain. Schwarzenegger is like, get into the blockchain.
Yeah.
It does sound like kind of a Neil Stevenson type of thing, but mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. It's also just, maybe it will be a real thing. Maybe it already is a real thing. It's probably the most, it's the... What's the phrase from the Silicon Valley show? It's the frothiest part of the valley now.
God, yes.
Yeah.
There is a lot of froth.
Yeah. Anyway, there is... Also, by the way, a lot of other companies have gotten into cryptocurrencies.
Yeah.
I think Atari put one out. There's a few other like smaller studios that put them out. It's
How do you just put one out? Like, can I just put one out?
That's the thing that I don't really understand, where it feels like it's inching upon... It feels like it's inching towards the kind of like Disney fun buck type move, where it's just like, oh, this is just an alternate currency that may or may not be controlled by this. Like, I have no faith that all those other currencies are actually that pure and not controlled by the central authority.
That's true.
You know, if fucking Atari puts out a coin, it's like,
when was the last time you played an Atari game?
Well, and also just how much faith do I have that this one random corporation is actually not manipulating the economy?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? What if like McDonald's put out like a McDonald's buck?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and they definitely... Companies have before. I mean, everyone has, like, Microsoft points are out there. I mean, there's...
Do you think that's the economy that builds the Burger Kingdom? Like, that is what the Hamburglar is now stealing. He's actually digital.
Oh, I thought you meant the Burger Kingdom as in Burger King.
Oh, I guess...
Like, they were deflating the currency of Burger King.
I guess they both have Burger Kingdoms, don't they?
Well, I think McDonaldland has a play place, not a...
Well, but there's Mayor McCheese. That's McDonald's,
Oh, it's called
right?
McDonaldland. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, not the Burger Kingdom. They've been at war. They've been at war for 500 years.
There is the DMZ that nobody crosses.
We don't even know what started it.
The DM cheese.
God damn it. There is... The latest is because... Okay, so there's actually a fairly interesting story where Brian Fargo, who has been in the video games industry for a while, I've actually not played many of these games, but founder of Interplay, which is a blast from the fucking past. Like, I don't even remember what happened to Interplay. Anyway, he was behind games like Wasteland or Bard's Tale, a bunch of old games, is trying to start a new online storefront selling digital video games with the promise that you can sell them back.
Yes.
And or sell them back for cryptocurrency and mine for that cryptocurrency and potentially just sell games directly to other users in the system.
Yep.
It's a lot of stuff.
It is a lot of stuff.
But it's interesting.
Well, one of the things that I find interesting, though, is if we take the idea of like blockchain out of it, and we take the idea of even reselling your games out of it, we are actually... I feel like gamers generally actually are primed for understanding different currencies, right?
Yeah.
And it's not just in the way that video games will create their own in-game currency, and those in-game currencies will have value, right? You could look at something like... the digital currency in EVE Online, right? Like, there are very real costs associated with that in-game currency in the number of hours that you put into, you know, mining your space meteor gets you that digital in-game currency. There's also in-game currency, and we've talked about it on the show before, in the way that Steam merchandise is bought and sold, right? Like, I can sell a hat for currency, and you've told me the story before about how the iPod earbud hats in like Team Fortress 2 were like a form of currency, quite literally a form of currency for a very long time. Mm-hmm. On top of that, we're also used to just converting money into a digital space and then making a purchase.
Yeah.
So for example, I bought a video game on the Nintendo Switch yesterday. Mm-hmm. In order to do so, I put money into the Nintendo Switch account so that money is no longer mine. It's now in my Nintendo Switch
Your
account.
Your wallet.
And then I spend that Nintendo Switch wallet money for the actual game, right?
Yeah.
And it used to be more complicated because you'd be able to buy in-game currencies. And you can do this even now in a lot of games for microtransactions. You buy the, like, you know, EA bucks, yeah. and then you use those EA bucks inside yeah. Star Wars to pay yeah. for your next thing. So there's already a lot of like back and forth between exchanging real world money for digital goods for digital currencies into digital goods.
Yeah.
That while I think all of this blockchain Bitcoin shenanigans is kind of fucking ridiculous. We're kind of primed for it. Like, I see where this is coming from. It's not an entirely new thing.
Yeah, and we're, I think, as people that play video games, especially on the PC, we're used to the abstraction that comes from that
mm-hmm.
weird sub-economy.
I mean, even the idea of mining for it, right? Like, yeah. Twitch viewers can cheer on Twitch streamers using bits.
Right.
And you can buy bits. I think it's like $1 for 100 bits, yeah. right? And you can tip the streamer almost like, you know, like a stripper or something, right? Like, it's just like, here's 50 bits right. or whatever. But the moment I realized this, I thought it was so weird. If you want to, you can farm bits by watching ads. So some people will intentionally watch ads on one screen yeah. while watching streamers on the other screen to basically farm bits.
Oh, okay.
And they'll like mute that thing right. or they'll whatever, turn off yeah. the monitor. I don't know how they do it, but they're yeah. basically farming bits, right? Mm. In an order to boost the view count on the ad so that the ad person who's buying that ad is getting more views and more return on investment on their ad.
Mm.
That's not that dissimilar than farming or mining coin or iron or whatever they're yeah. using in this system in
yeah.
a way. Right?
I mean, unless, yeah, I don't really know how all that Twitch stuff works. I assume that you get to keep the bits that you...
Yeah, you keep the bits and then you can...
And then the ad money goes to the person that put the ad on their video?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. And then I presume when you tip those bits, I don't know how it works. I've never been bits tipped before.
I mean, the difference probably is that Twitch probably takes a cut.
Oh, for sure. For yeah. sure. Right? Yeah. I mean, you figure you get whatever X cents yeah. on the view for the mm-hmm. ad. A portion of that cent gets transferred. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, this is why fucking economies are so complicated.
Yeah.
A portion of that penny is now bits, and those bits yeah. when collected in a large enough sum in the tip holder's hands, like yeah. the streamer in this case, I presume can return those bits to Twitch for actual cash.
Yes, yeah, and then Twitch takes its service fee or
yep,
whatever.
Exactly. 1,000 bits, which is the equivalent yeah. of, I don't know, like $10, and
Jeff
you get
Bezos
nine.
Jeff Bezos buys another boat.
Exactly. Well, he's buying like a spaceship now.
That's
he's going
true.
To space.
By boat, I mean space boat. And there's also even more banal things, like people have been mining actual games in Steam for cards and turning those cards into foil cards. God. And then those foil cards are sold back. I mean, so it's not even an abstracted currency. It's just yeah. you can turn it into dollars by... And it's weird because the abstraction is you get to mine by actually playing a game.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny.
Man, the idea that the obfuscation of our economic systems have... seated even the games that we play mm-hmm. is so anxiety inducing to me right now.
Let me talk to you about derivatives in the Steam marketplace.
Man, like, I have a hard enough time understanding like basic currency.
Yeah, yeah. Thinking about digital marketplaces in general, well, okay, let's think about this. How many physical games do you still buy?
I still buy actual, I mean, I own an actual physical copy of God of War. That's probably the last yeah. physical game. Really, any $60 game that I'm going to make a purchase of,
mm-hmm.
unless I'm playing exclusively on PC and I'm buying through Steam,
yeah.
I'm buying a physical version. Like most $60 games I play on PlayStation 4, I buy a physical copy.
Yeah.
The reason, and I think this is especially true of single player games, the reason is because I like the idea of being able to lend it to friends.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, my use case for physical games is not to sell them back, but it's to lend them.
Yeah.
And so to me, Steam chopped this idea off at the knees by allowing me to effectively lend my Steam library to you when I'm not playing it.
Yeah, through family sharing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's unclear if the market for is the market for used selling back used games or transferring the usage of that game.
And that's true. Like, yeah. So in this case, and the company is what? Robot Cash?
Robot Cash, yeah.
So let's say, for example, you bought Call of Duty Infinite yeah. or Call of Duty World War II
yeah.
on Robot Cash. Is the game itself somehow in the blockchain system such that when I sell my digital game, I literally lose access to it? Yeah. Or is it like Steam, where I have to log into Robot Cash in order to play, and it's just removed from my account?
Yeah. I mean, from what this is saying, and we haven't really participated in it, but from what this is saying, it's a much more traditional buy and sell transaction, where you're selling your license back into someone else or into the system, and then the company's taking a cut, and the publisher gets a cut.
So very much like Steam in that way.
Yeah. Well.
Well, but in the fact that you can sell it, essentially, they could remove the digital ownership of
exactly,
the title.
Exactly. Yeah, they would just revoke the license and put the license on somebody else.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But it seems like it's weird. Maybe this is just we're at a different place in our lives where I don't buy a huge number of games, and the games that I do buy, it's like, would I ever really sell them, or would I just want to give them to somebody? Or, you know, I guess it just seems like I'm unclear as to how big of a demand it actually is to sell all these games.
Well, let's see. Okay, so we know that Steam caved not too long ago. Maybe not caved is the right word, but they created the opportunity for players to return their games. Yeah. So if they played a portion of the game and they didn't like it, I think it's actually pretty lengthy, like up to 3 hours or something like that?
It's something like that,
An hour, maybe?
Yeah.
You can sell your game back. Mm. So if you play a title and you go, whoa, holy shit, this game is busted.
Yeah.
It doesn't work on my PC, which I actually think is the coolest aspect of that particular
policy. I think that's probably what drove it, really. Like, either this game is busted or it doesn't work.
Right. But people do return games because they just don't find them entertaining within that first hour or so.
Yeah.
I don't actually know what the numbers are for the amount of people who do it, but they did add that feature, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could see people wanting to sell back their games because it's just not even something that they enjoy.
Yeah.
And this would allow them to do that up to playing half the game. You know, like you could say, be playing Final Fantasy 15, you're 20 hours in, and you go, wow, I thought this game was going to get better after 18 hours. It didn't. I want to get rid of this crap.
Yeah.
And sell it back
into
this Robot Cash system. I could see that case. And I could also see people who, you know, they can't afford a whole lot of games. Maybe it makes sense for them to buy it and then sell it. I mean, they're probably doing it already anyway, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think a lot of the people who fuel GameStop's business model in the form of selling used games are people who buy games and then as soon as they're done playing them return them.
Right.
Although at that point I don't even understand why you don't just Redbox it or something.
Yeah, or Gamefly. I guess maybe the immediacy of it or something, or maybe you're in the Gamefly ecosystem GameStop bucks in like
The amount of money that you get off of a return is such a small fraction.
Yeah.
Of the value of the actual thing you're returning.
I mean, that's why it's interesting to see that they're calling out right away that you're going to get 25% of whatever the MSRP. Oh,
Robot Cash said that.
Yeah, it's like you're going to get 25, publisher gets 70, robot gets 5.
Okay.
For being the broker.
Okay.
Percent. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. So I mean, at least you know up front kind of what you're getting and theoretically what you could.
I mean, 25% is still a pretty big chunk relative to the games that you might even sell back to GameStop, depending on the title.
Yeah.
Sure, but if I bought a $60 game and I sold it back and I got, like, you'd be lucky to get 15 bucks back.
Yeah. There's also just a lot of, I guess maybe I should read some of their actual documentation or whatever, because how does this work when games, you buy a game for $60, a year later its price is 30, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
the fluctuating nature of a game is not.
Well, that's why I'm curious to know if this is the background to their Bitcoin or their cryptocurrency method.
Yeah.
Like, what if the value is just you put it up for sale, period, and the consumer or somebody else on the other end has to buy their game back from you?
Yeah.
So instead of treating it like you're selling it back to the service and then they sell it off, or treating it like a return almost.
Yeah.
This is essentially a game platform that's also eBay.
Yeah.
And so you can sort of undercut or sell the value. This already exists in Steam with game cards, right? Like, I can sell a card and it'll show me the value of that card relative to other people. So I know that I can sell a card that I got from playing The Last of Us for 4 cents today. Yeah. But if I had sold it a month ago, I would have been able to sell it for 6 cents.
Yeah.
I assume it's functioning the same way.
Yeah. Except that... Well, actually, I don't know if Steam gives the publisher anything. I mean, I guess the idea for robot cash is, and the reason why a cryptocurrency is attractive to them is that it lets them take more power away from the publisher.
Yeah.
Where it's like, if you go into like the P2P market, you are just buying and selling with iron,
yeah,
instead of selling the game back to the service, which means you have to give some money back to the publishers, which means they can, you know, their 5% is bigger.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. I mean, the thing that makes me especially sketched out about this, though, is it feels like what this really is a way of getting gamers to mine cryptocurrencies, yes, for,
yeah,
them.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. And to what end? Who knows? Yeah.
Because, yeah, here's the idea, right? The idea is, oh, hey, so when you buy games in our marketplace and you pay $10 and you get, I don't know, 100 robot bucks.
Yeah.
And it costs them 100 robot bucks to buy a $10 video game or, yeah, whatever, right? Then you sell that back for those robot coins,
mm,
and you mine, and you can say, you know what, when I'm not gaming, go ahead and use my computer's processing power, which we know is pretty good because I'm a PC gamer. You know, it's, right, I've got like a sweet card in there. Yeah. It's ready to go. What you end up getting out of it is, you know, let's say 10 robot coin. How many more robot bucks are actually just going to robot cash, like to the actual marketplace?
Right. Well, and to even more plainly, are you getting, is the stuff that you're mining and the stuff that you are selling either into the system or into like the kind of gamer to gamer market, is it worth more than the power bill that you have in your,
yeah,
house?
Yeah.
Where it's just like, oh, sweet, I mined 5 iron. Great. Your PG&E bill is $100 this month.
Yeah.
Like, what? So basically, like, Robot Cash has a great way of decentralizing the actual hard costs of mining a cryptocurrency,
yeah,
to people that may or may not be actually coming out ahead.
That's why I only do my hardcore cryptocurrency mining in the Starbucks.
just
bring my whole desktop over. I'm studying right, yeah, now.
Sir, no one can get on Instagram in this Starbucks. The other thing is, there's actual mechanical cost to this too. Where do you really want your graphics card spinning up at all times,
yeah,
and burning and potentially burning itself out or overheating, yeah, prematurely?
I mean, technology's lifespan are measured in, you know, days and hours. Like, that is what, yeah.
I mean, yeah. So it just seems like it could very well. I mean, it's a great idea to decentralize it so you don't have to be running your own huge farms.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not quite sure that whatever I would mine would necessarily, I wouldn't come out ahead on it.
I mean, that's what's so sketchy about it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. I just wouldn't, I would hate the idea that we're building a video game marketplace,
yeah,
on the back of like actual mining,
mm-hmm,
you know, like yeah, that we're actually funding someone else's real venture.
Yeah.
It's not dissimilar to the idea of getting a free service and realizing that the cost of that service is actually your data.
Yeah.
But at least I don't know, at least I get like a thing that says we're selling your data to Facebook or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think also it's similar to the actual cost is so abstract. Like, if you think about how do people make money driving for Uber, like, oh yeah, I made like $500. It's like, yeah, you did, but like, how much did you pay for gas?
Yeah.
How much did you pay for the depreciation of value on your car, the time that you were searching around? I mean, all this stuff is really good at obscuring things that our brains have a hard time understanding, which is abstract things.
Yeah.
The cost of abstract things. Yeah. All you see is the new game in your list, and it seems like it was worth it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what would stop them from doing this without having the cryptocurrency portion of it?
I mean, I think the publishers, because I mean...
Well, then why wouldn't the publishers do the same thing here? I mean, I guess the idea, right, is that...
To me,
it's... Because of the cryptocurrency thing, the company can take a smaller...
Yeah.
They can give a larger cut of the sale, right, back to the publisher.
Right.
So from the publisher's perspective, yeah, it makes sense.
They might want to play ball because it's like, okay. I mean, to me, if I were them, I would be trying to get this out as fast as possible before the publishers put out their own marketplace.
Yeah.
Because to me, this is the most clever thing in the world. Like, if you are EA, or if you are Blizzard, or if you are Ubisoft, you should put out your own marketplace, and if people really want this, allow for the buying and selling of your games on the marketplace.
And then we have like three like crypto. This is some fucking dystopia shit.
It really
because
is.
You know, before too long, like Ready Player One shit is gonna be there. You know what I mean? Like our EA currency, I'll be selling at like Walgreens to buy my fucking toothpaste.
I just finished reading Snow Crash for the first time.
Ugh, yeah.
And how they were saying that no one wants to be paid in American dollars anymore because the inflation is ridiculous and they're worthless, so they get paid in Kong bucks. I mean, this is very similar, but like I think the publishers, in the same way that the media companies saw this happen, they were not fast enough to realize that Steam was going to take off the way it did. And now Steam is an almost unstoppable juggernaut where you basically have to put your games on Steam unless you're the big three publishers.
Yeah.
But now there's an opportunity to be like, oh shit, maybe the tide is turning. You know, maybe the law will change and licenses will be transferable, or maybe this some startup like Robot Cash will beat us to market with a solution.
I mean, it makes sense, right? Like if you were to say, yeah, you can buy Call of Duty on Steam, sure. Yeah. But if you buy it on, you know, using Activision bucks, you can sell it back.
Exactly.
We'll let you sell it for like, you know, 80% of what you bought it for.
Or like, fire up Battle.net and you can sell it back. We won't give you cash, but we'll give you Heroes of the Storm items.
Yeah.
Or we'll give you Destiny items.
Yeah.
Or it just seems like these people, like the companies like Robot Cash, are seeing what Mr. Businessman calls...
Oh, good old Mr. Businessman. I haven't heard from you in a while, Mr. Businessman.
First mover advantage.
Yeah.
And getting there before EA gets there and is able to install something that is just as attractive to people that want to play Madden every year.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems... It makes me... The one thing that I do like about this is that it pushes on this super old and weird notion of... I don't think buying licenses is weird. I think the fact that companies retain so much authority over licenses is weird.
Yeah.
And this shakes that up a little bit. And I don't think that's inherently a bad thing.
Right.
I mean, I think it's weird how our default idea of what a license is something that can be revoked any time by a publisher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's, for in terms of a digital rights philosophy, I like the idea of end users being more powerful over that sort of
stuff. Being able to sell your game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the same way that you could sell a disc or cartridge or whatever.
It also makes sense from the publisher perspective when you think about ways of lowering costs for consumers who will make purchases after launch.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Using their Bitcoin or whatever.
Exactly. Like maybe, well, and I think one of the other things that we didn't even talk about in this whole situation is the fact that I think it's an increasing problem that video game prices have not changed very much on the high end.
Yeah.
Where...
Like a $60 game versus it being $70.
Exactly. $80. And I mean, we know this more acutely than a lot of people, but it's super expensive to make those high tier games now. And it's kind of crazy that the price has not changed.
Yeah, there's no fluctuation. You can't say, well, the investment was more.
Yeah.
Like, if I make a fucking super fancy cake, right? Like, real... I'm talking, like, six layers.
I'm talking about cake boss style.
Cake boss level. I got some fucking edible gold flakes up there, right? Like, I'm going to sell a slice of that shit for, like, $10, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say, well, I sell cookies for $2.50, so I better charge the same amount.
Yeah.
You know, it costs more investment in time. It costs more investment in resources.
Yeah.
So it is a little silly that it's like, oh, well, video games, that's the one price.
And you can't imagine that it had to be cheaper. I mean, you can't imagine that the gains on productivity are so great that it's like, oh, well, Uncharted 4, the assets were super expensive to make and everything, but like we're just so much more efficient. Like that game had to be more expensive to make than Uncharted 3. It just had to be. And so, but we don't have any movement on that top end. So people are getting more and more, publishers are more and more willing to maybe take a little bit of a loss at the front to then make sure that the tail is longer.
I mean, my big concern though about moving towards like cryptocurrency marketplaces is that what we're saying is that there's a disconnect between the ability for gaming players and consumers to understand the actual monetary cost, physical cost of the games that they play,
yeah.
this just makes it that much worse.
Oh, like, yeah, now, for sure.
Like, understanding the actual price of things is yeah. very difficult. And what's worse is when you don't understand the price of things, it's easier to be exploited whether you're a consumer or a worker. Like, yes. how do you convince yeah. someone, you know, I'm not making enough money.
Mm.
My games are only selling for 200 EA bucks.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, what exactly is, okay, how does this convert? Okay, well, I'm in Europe, so yeah. converting EA bucks into euros means right. you're getting paid, you know? Like,
or then you say, well, why don't you just leave your computer on and let them run your video card? And it's like, okay, yeah, it's essentially free. But is it? Now your energy bill is higher. Yeah. Now you might have to buy a video card once every 3 years versus 4 years. Yeah. I mean, it's just, there's a lot of... You're right. I think the obscurity is the thing that's scary, and it's also hilarious that I now pine for the days where free-to-play games were. Because now it's like, how simple, what simple times we lived in back
yeah.
then.
Yeah. This makes me want to buy games physically more often.
Yeah, we're all just going to get back to pen and paper role-playing games right now. We're just going to get our graph paper out.
That shit never gets old, man. Like, go buy second edition books. You're good.
I feel like Steam is... If they were smart, they would pounce on this a little bit more aggressively and work with the publishers.
The cryptocurrency side, or selling
just the selling back, because like the cryptocurrency to me seems almost like a red herring. Like it's meant to be trendy and mostly beneficial for the company.
I mean, they're too busy like feeding the gaping mob whatever Lovecraftian horror they have hiding under their bunker in Seattle.
The Lovecraftian horror is the card game, the Dota card game.
That's probably true, yeah. When that actually gets revealed, the world will be plunged into darkness.
Yeah. Scary times in this whole video game world. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just no closer to understanding the future. And you know what? I'm not the type of person that will say, oh, I'm getting old. I'm failing to like understand things. I'm going to lose touch just because I'm like not paying attention.
Yeah.
I think... This is just inherently confusing shit.
I mean, maybe this is the thing that gets people to learn about it more.
Maybe.
I mean, it's there for a whole group of people. I know for me, eBay helped me internalize what the value of an auction was.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't really fully get it. Like, especially as a child, you just see a Southern guy talking really fast and like banging a hammer.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, I kind of understand why this actually.
I can buy a cow now.
A++. Would learn again. Yeah. So I could see maybe that could be a benefit, but there's definitely, I don't know. I am similar to you. I am more confused and or skittish about this sort of stuff.
Well, especially when Nolan Bushnell is involved. That dude invented Chuck E. Cheese. That's, you know what I mean? You can't trust him.
That's the other thing. Like, if you look at the lineup of the investors, it's like, oh, man, there is a lot of biz dev guys in this lineup.
Yeah, this isn't your collection of, like, look at all these cool gamers that just love video games and really want to give back to the community. Like, no.
Steve Gaynor is nowhere to be found in this lineup of people.
One thing I do appreciate is the fact that we still call it mining, because then it's easier to correlate these assholes and the mining barons of yore. You know?
That is true, yeah. There's just going to be, in 30 years or whatever, there's going to be a Leonardo DiCaprio movie about this.
Yeah. I drink your Bitcoin!
All right, experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our website. Come on down, leave a review on iTunes.
Bring your pickaxe.
We got some mining to do.
We got a great deal for you. Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Ciao.